two best friends and comedy writers. If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.
So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and once again, student of golf, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host on a very special Father's Day weekend episode of the show. Happy Father's Day, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey everybody, it's me, Soren Bowie, your father. I write for a show called American Dad, and honestly, this should be our biggest holiday on our show, and it just gets no love at all.
Yeah, that's a shame. In your time, have you guys done a Father's Day episode?
Yes. No, I mean, I wasn't on the show, but I have my encyclopedic knowledge of of all 344 episodes that we've done. It's right there in my head. Yeah, I know that there's definitely an episode where Stan doesn't get the Father's Day he wants, so he keeps erasing his family's memory so that they have to do it again. They think that it's Father's Day again, and they just keep doing it for a very long time.
Excellent.
I didn't write
that. There are not a lot of Father's Day episodes of television, are there?
Very few. that's fair. I mean, it's not... It's kind of a bullshit holiday. Mother's Day, you're really celebrating.
Yeah.
The tacit agreement is you're celebrating the person who basically pulled you out of their own body.
Right.
That's what the big theme is. But Father's Day is there's not a ton to celebrate. I'm not saying that dads are bad or that you don't need a father in your life. I think that's all really valuable stuff. But it's just like, it'd be like having a friendship day or something like that. Yeah. It's like, here's this person who is really important to you your entire life.
I have not met a father who cares about Father's Day, I don't think. I don't, like, even checking in with new and less than new fathers at, like, the office, being like, oh, how's your Father's Day? I was like, yeah, I mean, we went to the beach, or it's usually like a normal family Sunday thing to do. And like the kids made cards.
Yes.
I'm like, all right, cool. I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah, in our family, I get to do whatever I want that day. And when I say whatever I want, I mean, obvious limitations. Yeah. I get a sandwich from the place that I like.
Wait, is Father's Day the time where you got high in a graveyard or something?
No,
that was a different treat.
That was a Tuesday.
I do feel like I remember there being like a reward basis for that experience.
Yeah, that was I think after I'd gotten my appendectomy and everything, which did happen on Father's Day.
Oh,
and I was like back in the clear of things. I had broken my toe and gotten an appendectomy within like a week of each other. And then like as things were kind of like slowing down at work and everything, I thought I deserve to go to this graveyard and drink a can. Did that, a high boy can. I didn't do that for Father's Day. Father's Day is, for me, well, leading up to Father's Day, I do a bit with my son where I pull him aside and very seriously talk to him about how he's going to need to buy me something expensive and how important it is that it's expensive. It doesn't matter what it is as long as it costs a great deal to him. Like, it puts him out. And then on the day itself, I get to sleep in a little bit. I get to eat the sandwich that I want. And at some point that day, probably while Gilly is napping, I will watch a movie of my choosing.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then maybe I could do a review for you or something. Speaking of which, if you ever want a review of The Accountant, I've finally seen it and I could give you like a great letterbox type thing.
Hey man, I hate to do this, but, pass. Thank you. Pass.
Have you seen that movie?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't have to. It's fine.
Because your review is going to be so thorough and it's going to really like put me in the seat.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of spoilers too.
Let's thank Honey for sponsoring this episode. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where Honey comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically applies the best one available at checkout. Go to joinhoney.com/QQ.
Thanks to Shopify for supporting Quick Question. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big business. For a free 14-day trial and full access to Shopify's entire suite of features, go to shopify.com/QQ.
Please join us in thanking Credit Karma for supporting Quick Question. Create your own karma. Ready to find the card for you? Head to creditkarma.com or the Credit Karma app and check out your personalized mix of offers today.
Now, I don't want to gloss over. Speaking of dad stuff, You're not a golfer.
I don't want to be a great golfer, but I did like a real 18 holes this past weekend with my brother and a friend of ours, this guy Danny, and it was like I woke up at 5 a.m. to make our tea time, and it was a full 4-hour affair. It's not like pro golf. It's still we're not in a country club or anything like that, but it's more than like a pitch and putt. It's you're going anywhere from 114 to 500 yards is the distance from the tee to the hole, and I have like my clubs, and I'm using all my clubs, and I can get a lot of enjoyment in golf. I'm just so bad at it, and the thing that what I want to be able to do is just I'm not going to be as good as my brother and dad, the two people in my family who play all the time and have like really studied it and gotten very good at it. I'm not going to be that. I don't want to be competitive. What I'd like is to not be the guy who is just like very slowly marching down the course, like getting 50 yards at a time on these 500 yard holes, where like my brother and this guy Danny can like their first shot off the tee, they're like, all right, that's flying and it's sailing, and they get to go together to where their balls ended up, and I'm like, all right, I'm glad we have a second golf cart for me, because I'm working at a completely different pace, and like I'm not giving up every hole or anything like that, but it's also my scores are never going to count, because it's like, all right, I got it in. Mark me down for 19 on that one.
Right.
But I'd like to, I would like to at the very, very least, like participate on that level and just feel like I'm not muscling down the course every time. If I can get someone who could just like really just teach me how to drive, I'm okay if I'm not a good putter. And I'm not great at like chipping from the whatever onto the green once I get closer. I just want that first drive to be competent.
Yeah, you want to crush the ball and have it go straight.
Yeah, and it's tough because every once in a while I can, and I don't know how I did that. and also, whenever I've done golf so infrequently that I'm thinking about too many things. Nothing about it has become natural yet. So it feels like when I'm about to tee off, it's like straighten your neck, relax this distance, make sure you follow through. Don't take your eye off the ball until it's in the air. Do this with your arms, bring this back, and like the same way that you're learning any physical thing where it hasn't entered a flow state for you yet. And it's just like, I have to remember to do 9 things simultaneously. It just feels too much at this point, but I like it.
I agree. I played golf last winter for the first time in years. I mean, I used to work on golf courses as a kid and then played, and I was so overtaken by the joy of sport like that I was like, oh my God, like this is, I've been missing this this whole time. I think I love golf. And it turned out I had just loved organized sport and hadn't played it in 6 years, like any sort of sport. But golf is great. I mean, golf is like it's a good fun speed. You are really just playing against yourself. I understand the feeling of being somebody's, very literally in your case, the little brother tagging along.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I don't count what I do.
And like, don't get me wrong. It is still very much fun. And I want to do it again, and I'm glad I did it. But I also like, I want to be better at it.
I think that's I think that there are people who probably play 10 times a year, and at the end of the year, they're like, fuck, I wish I knew where the ball was going to go when I was driving it. Like it never really happens. At some point, you can get better and better, and like your swing can get focused in. You get that polished work that you're talking about, where you're not thinking about it every step. But automatically, you're going to be like, you hit the ball from the approach near the green. You're like, oh, this will be easy. I'll just chip it, and the ball just sails over the green. You're like, what the fuck did happen there? How did that happen?
I can't remember if I've talked about this before, but one of the ways that I know that I'm doing this wrong, and I think another reason that it feels like a tougher experience for me, is that I'm using, not to brag because I suck at this, I'm using all strength. Whenever I'm getting that ball any kind of yards, it's because I'm swinging like a low baseball bat as hard as I can and relying on like my arm and back muscles, I guess, to like shove push this thing down the course. And I know, and you watch any golfer, there are so many golfers that are not in any kind of shape, and it looks like the easiest thing in the world, because, and everyone says, your body's doing the work, your hips doing the work, the club is doing the work, and you're just like swinging it, and momentum is gonna drive you there. You're not getting like the best golfers are not like fucking bodybuilders or anything like that, who could just like power it down the field. They just know how to do it better. And I've seen this at like, I've gone to driving ranges, and I don't go to driving ranges often for this exact reason. I am so noticeably bad at it that strangers come and help me. And I don't want that. I want to take a lesson and like really ask my questions. But if I'm at a driving range, I really do just kind of want to be bad for as much time as I feel like being bad. But I'm so bad out loud that like pros who do charge for this are like, hey, listen, I have to stop you.
Yeah, I will do this for free, because I just, it's so accosting to my senses. I need to fix it in you.
I think I can help you have more fun. And also, I think you're doing real damage to your shoulders.
I was fortunate.
And I watched these pros who
were
like 60 years old. I'm watching these pros who are like 60 years old, and he's using my clubs with one hand, and he's like, just like this. And he's just like swinging it as gingerly as I've ever seen anyone swing anything, and just driving that ball 200 yards. And I'm, you know, bursting blood vessels in my face and sweating like no one else on the golf course. So I know there's a gentle way that I'm not doing it right.
I'm with you. I will have an important question for you. Was there ever a point during the game where you drove further than everybody else?
Yeah. No. I don't know if I'm trying to remember the hole. It was, I didn't drive further than anyone else, but it was the only time, it was one of the shorter holes, and I made it to the green from drive, and the other guys didn't. But that's because they shot over the green, because they had better better at golf than I am.
I played a lot. I shouldn't even say a lot. I used to play when I worked on golf courses, and that was maybe like over a summer where I'd be working on the course, I'd play maybe three times. And then when I was young, my dad was really insistent on like getting us to have good form, like teaching us how to swing a club at every single step, you know, like a half swing when you're close and that kind of stuff. And so I had the fundamentals there, and but I hadn't played in maybe, I think until this last Christmas, I hadn't played for like 11, maybe 12 years, and got out there and I was like, oh no, this is going to be, I'm warning everyone. I'm like, this is going to be rough. And on my first drive, I crushed the ball so far that everyone was mad. Like, they were like, thought I was sandbagging them in a way that, you know, kids do sometimes. They're like, no, I'm really bad at this. I'm really bad at this, because they want to show off.
Yeah.
And I just blew this ball out of orbit. Like, it shot it into the sun. And they were like, what are you doing? It's like, no, you just wait. And the rest of the game, obviously, I was terrible. Every other step of the way, even on the other holes where I'd drive, sometimes I'd drive it and it would pop up in the air and go 10 feet, or other times it would careen off to the left. But just having every once in a while a drive where I was just killing everybody else, I was like, that's enough. And I don't need to win. I don't need to get the hole, the ball in the hole at this point. I'm done with this hole. I just crush that ball.
You just want it to, like, I guess what I want, I want it to look like golf when I'm playing golf. Yeah. I want it to look and sound like that and not just, okay, you hit like a low line drive, 70 yards. So, and I just keep doing that. I'm hitting it straight, but I'm hitting it like these low, almost grounders marching down the field. And it's like, this isn't what golf looks like. I just want to make it look like golf and feel like I'm golfing. Because the few times that I do, it feels fucking amazing. It feels great. And I get the same kind of bizarre confidence that I get when I play pool, where like, I'm bad and I'm bad and I'm bad. One thing goes right and I'm like, maybe, do you think I'm good at this now? Do you think, was the first half of this golf outing, was that like the end of my 10,000 hours and now I'm good all of a sudden? I wasn't logging my time, but that might be it.
I think after every single shot that goes well, when you play golf from now on, a good bit would be to go, I'm back, baby.
It's very tough because like the times that something does go well when I can really drive it, and my brother and Danny are like, yeah, nice, there it is. They're very encouraging. They're the best guys in the world to golf with. I still like quietly in my head, I'm like, but that's what I'm trying to do every time. That's what I can't. That's how I can't make the puzzle pieces of golf fit yet, is that I always think I'm doing the same thing. Yeah. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
No, I get it.
You no longer have to search for coupon codes online thanks to Honey. It's a thing of the past. Honey is a free shopping tool that scours the internet and finds those promo codes for you and applies the best ones it finds to your cart. Imagine it in your mind's eye. You're shopping at one of your favorite sites. I do it all the time. I did it before this podcast recorded, and I'm going to do it after. When you check out, the Honey button drops down, and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. Just wait. Just be patient. Honey's going to search for coupons that it can find for that site. And if they find a working coupon, you're going to watch the price drop like magic. Honey has found its over 17 million members over $2 billion in savings. Remember? I use Honey all the time. It's fishing season out here in the beach where I live. So I've been buying a lot of lures and some fishing line. I've been buying it online because that is my preferred way to shop for everything these days. And Honey saved me money on it, on my fishing line, on my lures, on my weights, on my bobber. I saved $13. And it's great because that's how much I wanted to save. And then I got to do it thanks to Honey. Honey was very easy to use. It's a great service. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast, doing me and my friend Soren a solid. I'd never recommend something I don't use. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ. That's joinhoney.com/QQ.
All I want to do is punk, 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 and a cha-ching. Take your money. That's the sound of another sale on Shopify. Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. It's daunting trying to start your own business. You hear other people say, I run my own business, and immediately you think, ah, that's something adults do. That's something you do, you learn how to do when you're big. At least that's what I think all the time. Shopify is your coming-of-age story, my friend. Shopify will teach you how to do all that. It will hold your hand through the whole process of starting your business. All of the major hurdles that you're going to have to face, Shopify has faced them thousands of times before and will help you delicately step over each one of those hurdles. Shopify believes in liberating commerce for all because entrepreneurship has the power to drive communities forward and commerce can be a force for good. So discover your possible at Shopify. Supercharge your knowledge, your sales, and your success. For a free 14-day trial, go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving you the resources once reserved for big business. And it's customized for you with a great-looking, polished online store that brings your idea to life, whatever it is, and the tools to manage and drive sales within that business. Believe me, this podcast started at a Taco Tuesdays event at a small taco stand, and we were trying to decide what we wanted to do, and it felt very, very daunting from the beginning. But we figured it out. And step by step, we made the empire you're listening to now. Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. Access powerful tools to help you find customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day. Gain knowledge and confidence with the resources to help you succeed. Plus, 24/7 support so you know you're never alone. If you ever have a question, somebody's there to help you. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/QQ right now. I get it completely. It's also like the most maddening, frustrating game in the world.
Yeah. But and we had, for a while, we had all kinds of time and all kinds of space. And then these golf bros came up behind us and asked if we could be faster.
Whoa.
And we just said, we were like, no. And we just like continued golfing. We didn't let them play through or anything like that. We just did whatever we can to put it out of our heads. But like my brother was saying after that, no one in the history of golf has played better after being told, can you play faster? Just like a shit thing to say to someone.
That's so frustrating. That's also like a huge etiquette breach. What you do is if you're up against somebody, you like pretend like you've got other stuff to do. You take a little bathroom break, but you make it yourself conspicuous to them. And eventually they will say to you, hey, do you guys want to play through? Seems like you're up against the back of us. But you never come up and you're like, hey, could you guys maybe wrap up this hole a little quicker?
Do you think you can play faster?
Yeah. Can you just, in fewer strokes, can you get the ball in the hole?
Now we're focusing on just like the time spent on course today. That's sort of what we're training. You know how like some days you do like speed and accuracy? Well, we're just doing time on course. It's endurance day for us at the course. Yeah.
This is really more of a cart workshop for us.
We're actually doing 1 through 18 and then 18 to 1. We're doing doubles today.
That's a thing about golf that I really struggle with, though, is that now that I am a family man and that I'm my time is accounted for at all times.
Yeah.
If I'm going to do something selfish in my own, like I'm going to have to give somewhere else where I ordinarily wouldn't. And golf takes up so much time. It's unlike any other sport in that you go for your tee time and you're going to be out there for 4.5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I think one of the good things about, I guess it's not even a good thing about golf. Good thing for us is like a 7 a.m. tee time. And then it's like, oh good. Now it's 11 o'clock. Now I have the whole rest of the day to be fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
But speaking of fathers still, I got a Father's Day quick question for you, Soren.
You know, the accountant has a lot of father plot lines kind of running through it, and like the idea of family and father. Is this about the accountant?
No.
Damn. Okay.
I'm curious if in fatherhood you developed a dad voice for disciplining your kids. Or a different dad voice for anything for your kids. It seemed like it would be obvious and silly if it was just like you have a goofy dad voice when you're playing goofy games. I just want to know if you ever use a different tone that was unlocked in fatherhood.
Yeah. It's not something I'm totally proud of, actually. Because it's not like that's a dad voice. It's like I can startle my children with it. And I like the look on their face and everything is not something I enjoy.
That's what I was going for. Not to make you sad or anything like that, but that's like the kind of voice, because I know no one likes it when you compare having a pet to having a child, but it's literally the exact same thing in every way. So I have a voice for Jackson when I'm disciplining him that is just like a slightly deeper, more stentorian version of my own stupid voice. And it came out, this was months ago, back when I still, I guess a year ago when I still lived in the city, when my brother and nephew were visiting, and Jackson got overexcited at one point and peed on the carpet, and my like dog father anger instincts rose up in me, and I immediately switched to Jackson. And yeah. I'm not going to do the full voice on this podcast because he's here behind me now, and I don't want to scare him. But yeah. I used this voice, and I got very serious with him, and was scolding him. And I looked over, and I could see this was something, not only that my nephew had never seen, not only that he hadn't like heard me do before, but he hadn't even considered. I had this side to me where I could be angry authority figure. And I saw that look in his eyes and I was like, oh no, no, this is, never mind. Uncle's the party guy. Yeah. It's cool when you pee, Jackson. Let's all do it. It's great. Never mind.
Yeah. But I have it in me. I think it's maybe you just like, cause your dad did it to you. You also have it. And you're like, it's just like this innate deeper and like more commanding voice where yeah. everybody shuts up and just listens when you use it. It's a really serious and very, it's the same way that like, if you hear somebody else's alarm on their phone go off and you're like, oh, that like panic that you feel. I think that the dad voice yeah. has
what
that.
What am I late so for? I'm at the beach. What happened?
So like my, my mom was coming to visit, and Ronan was, here's the deal with Ronan in the mornings, it's really hard to get him to focus on what he needs to do. If there's a time crunch, like if we're like, you got to be at school at this time, he's like, yeah, I'll be ready to go out the door at this time. And like, I got him a watch and everything, but just the idea of him getting dressed, him brushing his teeth, him putting his shoes on. These are all things that I need to tell him over and over and over again to do, because he just gets distracted so easily because he's six.
Sure.
And there are times though where he's way worse, where I will say something to him like, Ro, come on, we got to get our shoes on. And he'll be like, okay. And then just fucking doesn't. Just like, doesn't even make a move toward it. Just gives me a little bit of attitude and then doesn't do it. And if it gets to the point where I'm like saying it five or six times and we're up against it, I will use that voice. And I did that in front of my mom where I was like, let me like scoot back from the mic. But I was like, Ronan, put your shoes on. I gave him one of those, and my mom like flinched too. And then afterwards talked to me about it. And she was like, I think that there are better ways. And I was like, I don't need your advice on this. First of
Mother.
All, what do you think my childhood was? Like, where's your memory of my child that you never once yelled at us? And then also, I'm allowed to yell at him every once in a while, as long as it's something that's still like that I only take out when it's like nothing else is working.
Right.
Then
that's
you're allowed
to do
that with a kid.
I don't think it's necessarily like a thing we remember in a traumatic way. I think it's an effective communication tool because it's not like screaming and there's nothing violent about it. But it is, I think, in my case anyway, for the dog, born out of necessity of just like, man, none of the other stuff is working. Maybe I'll just, I have to switch into this different gear that I have. And it's been really effective at letting him know, like, because he doesn't understand everything I'm saying all the time.
Right.
So tonally, it's like, this is the difference between the noise that I'm usually giving him and the noise that means I'm being serious. And like, I just need to access that once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I certainly, it's not something you want to overplay. And if I thought that I was maybe suffering from some anger management, I think I would address that immediately. But it's like, I use it for the cat too. I understand what you mean when you say you use it for pets. Cause there are times where Colleen will use a spray bottle for the cat. Like the cat would get up on the counter or whatever. Cause cats, if they think you're not looking, they'll do whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
And I don't do that.
Sometimes when you are looking too.
I will just get mad. I'll just shout at the cat. If it gets up on something, I'll be like, what I do a lot is a hey. And just that hey is enough for like everybody. It's universal. It's like let me scoot back. It's like a hey.
Yeah.
Like that. And whatever anybody is doing in the house, they drop it.
Yeah. All the other dogs and dog dads at the dog park, when one of us hears that hay, we all like looked at the source of the hay and then like look to our dogs. Like I'll signal Jackson like, not you, that's somebody else. Don't worry about it. You're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I heard you're right to be scared by that hay, but it's, that's not me. You're doing great, buddy.
And so, yeah, I definitely have it. I sometimes like if I do lose my temper with them, if like it's just something has worn me thin and I finally break and I use it and I don't think it was completely necessary. And sometimes even if I do, I see the other child like start a little bit. I just watch that little flinch in them and I'm like, I immediately feel like, oh, right. Shit, that's not good for their brains, I don't think. Even if just that momentary panic, even if it's not you that's in trouble, where you're just like, oh my God, yeah. What was that? I'm like, I'm going to try and curb this. Every night when I'm going to bed, I think about one of my big thoughts is I should really be more patient with my children. And I think that's every single dad and every single mom probably in the entire world, where you start to treat them like adults a little bit, where you're thinking, especially if they're really good kids, where you have these expectations of them. And when they're not meeting the expectations, then you're like, what the fuck? Do the thing.
We had a deal.
And so I every night when I'm going to bed, I'm like, God, I just got to be more patient with them.
Man, I did not mean to take you to this place on the I don't want you to feel self-conscious of your father voice on Father's Day.
No, it's a good thing to be reminded of, honestly. I think everybody should be. I think that I don't know what the long-term consequences of it are. I think that because everybody's had to deal with it their entire life.
I know what the long-term consequences are. I think you fast forward about 25 years and Ronan and Jackson are going to start a podcast together. Work it all out.
Yeah, that could be the case.
Famously on this show, I've been scared of credit cards, so I am really at sea. If I wanted to find a new credit card, I wouldn't have any idea where to start or how to choose. Credit Karma helps out. You don't need to apply for the first offer you see in the mail. Credit Karma can help you zero in on the right option for you and apply with more confidence. I don't know if I'm earning credit card rewards. I've never looked into that. It's none of my business. Maybe it can be with Credit Karma. They can help you compare rewards options so you can find a card that fits your lifestyle, helping you earn miles or cash back for spending you're going to do anyway. Credit Karma uses your credit profile to show you offers that are tailored to your financial situation. What works for me doesn't work for you, and vice versa. Best of all, Credit Karma uses your credit data to show you your personalized chances of approval before you even apply. That helps you apply with more confidence. What else about Credit Karma? Buckle up. They can help you find a great credit card by comparing offers for you. Credit Karma partners with a wide range of card issuers, so you can be sure that you are exploring all sorts of options. Credit Karma, create your own karma. Ready to find the card for you? Head to Credit Karma and check out your personalized mix of offers today. Go to creditkarma.com or the Credit Karma app to find the card for you. That's creditkarma.com.
Speaking of animals, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quick question for you.
Oh, go ahead.
Let me give you a hypothetical situation. Jackson one day is throwing up and like it's not getting better. Mm-hmm. And you think, I got to take him in. And like this feels a little bit emergency-like because he can't keep down food. He's not drinking water and he's just throwing up a lot.
Yeah. You're saying this is a hypothetical.
This is a hypothetical situation. Like, I got to take him in. What is your strategy? Do you call up your vet and then your vet is like, yeah, come on down. And then you go in there and you go and your pet gets seen immediately.
Yeah, that's
fuck.
The time that happened. I called my vet. That exact scenario did happen in Los Angeles. He was throwing up, not drinking water, not eating food. And just also couldn't like physically settle. He kept trying to curl up in one of his usual spots with me on the couch, but like his stomach was clearly so uncomfortable that like he kept readjusting the way humans do. If you're if like you yeah. got something really bad with your stomach and it's like, maybe if I sit on my side, no, that's not right. Maybe if I lay down on my back, nope, now that's hurting too. So he just was up and down trying to get comfortable. And when he wasn't doing that, he was up and like really throwing up the whole contents of his body whenever he could. And not drinking water, not eating, not pooping. And those are like the biggest, because he'll like throw up every once in a while. Not yeah. for months, but like he's a rat. He eats shit off the street and he's a tiny little thing. And sometimes he pukes. But the big warning signs to look out for is if he's not eating, he's not pooping. Those are like telltale signs for dogs. Those are the things you worry about. And that was the case for him. So I called the vet because I'm up with him for like an entire night while he's doing this. And I called the vet and she had me bring him in the next day. And she looked at him and she didn't give me anything. Or she gave me a thing that he's gotten before, which is he's throwing up so much and he's such a little guy that he really needs to get hydrated or else this problem will just like continue to get worse, because then you're like, you're having loose stool and you're throwing up and you're like tearing up your insides because there's just not enough water there. So they inject a bubble of water into his back and that like slowly goes through his system. That's all she did for me. And then the rest of it was now just like watch him. Just watch him constantly. And if things get worse, then call me again. But I think things will get better in a day or so. And they did. Like he was uncomfortable for a while, but just some bug was in his system that he really needed to get out. And there was like 2 full days where he didn't poop at all. And then when he did, it was a real struggle, but we both like fucking lost it afterwards. No one's been happier to pick up dog shit in a bag than me in that moment.
It is strange how your pet or your child become an extension of yourself, and like you're so pumped when they're pooping right.
Yeah. Like, oh my god,
like it means the world to you. You're like, yes.
Yeah. Just like we talked about.
So I've had 3 instances now where I wanted to bring my cat in, and one time it was the same situation where she was really sick. She, for whatever reason, she was like feverish, I think, because she wasn't eating. She wasn't doing anything. She just wanted to lay there and wasn't purring when you pet her, which is like that's always like, oh, what's going on? And another time when she got her foot caught under a gate. And then this last time it's clear that she had been bitten by something on her tail. She got in some sort of altercation out in the wild and, there were puncture marks, and then she was licking it so much that she was pulling the hair off of her tail at the base. And we were on vacation basically when we discovered this. So that we have somebody from Rover who was coming, and she's like, you know, this, your cat has this bite. It looks like her tail is swelling some. And I was just like, oh man, okay, I'll deal with it when I get back. And so on the day that we're coming back, I'm calling my vet, and I'm calling other vets, and every single time I call my vet, this is how it goes. They say, okay, what's going on with your pet? I tell them, they go, okay, well, we have an appointment available in 2 weeks. And I'm like, yeah, I think she'll be dead by then. you don't have anything sooner than that? And they're like, no, unfortunately not. We'll call you if there's a cancellation. I've never called my vet and they've been like, bring her in.
Yeah.
Even when the worst case was when she was not eating or drinking or doing anything and was lethargic, and I didn't know if this cat was going to make it, that they were just like, okay, well, yeah, we have an appointment and then said the month that was after the month we were in. And I was like, what else do I do? And they're like, well, you can try some other places, and you can try an animal, like an emergency animal hospital. And I was like, okay. So in this instance, and in every other instance, I call those other places and I'm like, hey, can I bring my cat in? And they're like, yeah. Like with that kind of tone, I'm like, well, how long of a wait do you think it'll be? And they're like, it might be around like 8 hours. And I'm like, this cannot be the system. This cannot be the veterinary system in Los Angeles. Surely there's a better way. And I just haven't clued into it yet because I'm a first time pet owner. But like every single time I try and call my vet, they're like, don't bring her in. And every single time I try to call an emergency animal service, they're like, I mean, you could, but you will be here for the next 3 days or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, so anyway, with this bite in her tail, I ended up taking her to emergency. We got home. My children went to bed for the night. And at 10 o'clock, I took her to an animal hospital and then, you know, brought her home at 4 a.m. Because they weren't fucking around. Like, they were like, this is going to take forever. And it did. And I'm just thinking, there's got to be a better way than this.
I don't know what to tell you. I think my vet was just like one of the part of that chain of VCA animal hospitals.
Yeah. I'm a VCA guy.
Yeah. I had no problem. I had my latest vet story for Jackson. I don't love my current vet, and there's not a lot of games in town. Cause the place I live is fictional, but he had this thing on his paw. There's like growth on his paw that a while ago, he was bleeding from his paw at one point. And I thought he'd stepped on glass or a sharp rock while we were in the street. And so I like put ointment on that and wrapped his paw until it stopped bleeding and then didn't think about it. And then like maybe a month later was like, I want to revisit that cut on his paw and see how things were going. Cause he was never like favoring it or anything like that. It was just a little bit of blood for a while. And I looked, and the source of the blood was now this weird growth. And I took a picture of it, and I emailed it to my vet here. And they said, this is an emergency. Like, don't bring him in now. But this week, bring him in, and we'll take a look at it. And they looked at it, and the options laid out were not my favorite thing in the world. Because they're not allowed to tell you the right thing to do. She just says, like, it's too small for us to like slice a piece off of it and find out if it's cancer. So we don't recommend doing that. You can have surgery for him on this thing now, and we will try to get rid of it completely. There are risks with that surgery, A, because it's so small and it's in such a delicate place that he might lose a toe from this surgery.
Ooh.
You can wait. And if it gets bigger, it could be easier to take out, but it also could be more painful, and it could be what we would think is like she didn't say forever wound, but like that's the takeaway from it. Like, this would just be an active part of my life, whether it's like constantly changing wraps or constantly putting medicine on. Just like, this would be a part of your normal rotation of things that you do with your dog, is treating this forever wound on his paw.
Yeah.
And the other thing with Jackson in any kind of surgery is you need to put him under anesthesia, and he has a very faint heart murmur, so it's really dangerous to put dogs with heart murmur under anesthesia, which is why like we've rejected other surgeries in the past that were not necessary, just because like it's not worth the risk of putting him to sleep if he might not come back from it because of his heart. And they lay out all these options for me, and I must have spent like 45 minutes asking them different variations of like, yeah, so, but like, what would you do? Because I want them to just say like, this is the right thing to do. Of course they're not going to say that. I think legally they can't say like,
right,
this is the option. And I kept doing like, no, I understand. But like, hypothetically, it's your dog and this is happening to your dog. So like, what would you do? You're like, well, I'm not going to fall for that trap. And I just like sat there not making a decision for long enough that they needed to get me out of there. So they were just like, you don't need to decide now. So like, go on, go.
Yeah.
There's no decision that needs to be made now. And I was like, well, is there a chance that it'll just get smaller and go away? And they said, no. And they're like, you can take pictures of it to like chart its progress. And I was like, take pictures and send them to you to make a decision? And they're like, no, you take pictures and you look at them for your records, because that's what you're gonna do. And I was like, okay. And here's the good news, bad news. It's all taken care of. It did shrink. It's not there anymore. It's like the tiniest, smallest thing that is getting smaller every day. And that's good news because, you know, great for Jackson. It's bad news because it's always alarming for me when my strategy of not making a decision pays off.
Yeah, it's very bad for you.
It's not good.
Is that you just employ it more and more in your everyday life? Yeah.
Right, because then once I develop hideous growths on my feet, I'll be like, well, the only other time this came up in my life, I was right.
Oh, yeah. Ah, I'm old enough and wise enough now that I know how to treat this.
And that's ignoring
just,
it.
Yeah, never look at it. Yeah. It was strange to me that they were like, that first of all, they finally came and got her. They took her back, and then they came back to me and they said, okay, here's the deal. I touched it. There, a little bit of pus seemed to come out. I think that it's probably infected. And what we would do is we would shave this portion of her tail. We're going to lacerate it and drain it. And then we're going to put a cone on her neck. And I was like, and how long will the cone be on? And they said, 10 days. And I was like,
she's not going to like that.
Yeah. That's bad for her. That's really bad for me. And they did it. I mean, I let them do it. And the doctors, because that's what they say. They say, like, this is what I'd like to do, or like, this is what I recommend. And the other two times in which I should have brought my cat in, or I felt like, I think this is really bad. I think this is bad. I want to bring my cat in. I didn't, because no one would see me unless my cat was not like on the verge of death. Mm-hmm. And when I didn't, my cat just got better. And I was like, well, she does have her energy back. I could just not do this, and I bet my cat would just get better. But I was like, no, I'm here. I should take care of this, because I'm just going to keep thinking about it. My cat's going to keep messing with it. And so I did it. Brought her home in the cage, and it was the saddest thing. This cone is huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if your dog has ever had a cone.
Nah.
But this one has to be particularly big because cats are so flexible, and it's so far down her body that it's very easy for her to reach no matter what.
Yikes.
And so this cone is gigantic, and she's in her little carrier on the way home, drugged out of her mind, but also like can't turn around or anything. It's like a pig at the farm, like at a factory farm, where they're just like, they're not allowed to turn around in their individual little slots. Like, she can't move, she can't do anything, she doesn't know what's going on. I get her home, and it's the most depressing thing in the world to watch her walk around with this thing and just like slam into walls. Trying to eat her food was humiliating. Like, she's like, couldn't get close enough. And finally I put it in a smaller bowl. And if she just basically created a suction cup over the bowl, like put the entire cone over it, so every single part of the diameter was on the ground. I mean, every part of the circumference was on the ground. She could finally reach her food then. And at one point she was just like, fuck this, and took it off. And I was like, no, we can't do that. And so that rest of that night where I had her, where from like 3 until 6:30 in the morning, was just me lying in a bed listening for the scrape, scrape, scrape of her running into stuff. And when I didn't hear it anymore, I'd get up and I'd go out there and find her, and inevitably she had taken it off.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how to get this thing to stay on. It's just me trying to tighten this thing without choking my cat to death. And it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare, even for the first day. And I was like, this is not going to last 10 days. She tried to use her litter box, and just the cone was like scooping up litter. And then she got some shit in the bottom of the cone. And I was like, we're fucked. Like, this is it. And then my wife went to a pet store, because she also saw it, the situation as being untenable. She found this inflatable one that was a little more, had more fabric. It wasn't just a cone. Yeah. Oh, the other thing that was terrible was that I would try and like get this cat to calm down. I would bring it onto my bed, which we never do. And I knew she would love it. She's like calming down. She's purring and stuff. But the minute that she turns or puts her head down and realizes that it's on a cone, she freaks out and thinks that she can run away from it. And so she gets up off the bed and darts away, and then just, you know, going as fast as she can into clipping walls and things like that with it. And so she's just eating shit constantly too. And I was like, okay. My wife figured out that there's an inflatable one that you can use. It looks like a neck pillow for a plane ride.
Okay.
It's very silly looking.
I was hoping it was like an astronaut's helmet that goes around her entire head.
A bubble. That would be so cool. She we put this thing on her, and it's you know, it's not as loud. It's like she's willing to like leave it on. She's not freaking out constantly. It's not banging her in the head. And I was like, you did it. And when somebody else solves a problem that you, like, it's a huge problem that you have and somebody else figures it out, the amount of love and gratitude you feel towards that person, yeah. You're just like, oh my God, I love you more now than when I married you. This is the best thing you've ever done for me. Like, this is...
Are you sure it's not the most recent?
you saved me.
Really, really, honey, I was 1 foot out the door.
This is going in your eulogy. And the cat was way calmer. And I was like, this is great. This is great. And then as I'm kind of like watching her, I just watch her reach over and just start licking her tail with this thing on. Like, oh, fuck. God damn it. She can reach it no problem. Like, just one side of it. I mean, there's bites on both sides. Yeah. She can reach one side very easily and not the other. And so I was like, all right, then the deal is she will wear this thing because it at least impedes her some. And I'll just watch her for the next 10 days. And basically that's what I've been doing is every time that I either hear her licking herself or like bathing or she's just around me, I will keep an eye on my cat. And if she gets even close, I just push her head away from it. And it's healing. I mean, the hair is coming back. The scab is going away. It's working, but it's also... It's such a pain in the ass and just slightly less of a pain in the ass than me putting this plastic comb back on my cat.
It's insane the amount of things that you can live with for these stupid animals that we love. When Jackson's paw was bleeding, he would also take the bandages off whenever he could. So I was like, that's fine. This is a fine solution. I will just bandage his foot and then sit next to him for, I guess, the next 10 days, and I'll walk with him, and I'll just, like, watch him constantly. I'll train myself to wake up a few times in the middle of the night to see if he's taken it off in the night. He has, okay. Then I'll just use the bedtime wrap, and I'll put a new bandage on him, and then this is fine. And, like, we'll go for walks, and we'll walk on the grass. If he tries to go in the street, I will pick him up, and I'll just carry him. And maybe I'll carry him forever. Maybe I'll... maybe I'll let him pee and poop on me. Until this is all resolved.
Yeah, I'll just get my shoulders really strong so I can hold him at a full arm's length away from me at all times, and he can go to the bathroom as he pleases from there. Yeah, it has changed my whole life for like this week, but you just accepted it every single turn. You're like, oh, okay, well, this is slightly better than what was, and so I'm going to do this from now on.
Yeah.
And it's just rough. Also, there's little things that crop up along the way where like I'll take this thing off of her every once in a while because she keeps trying to itch her neck. It'd be like wearing a turtleneck, or like a very heavy turtleneck every single day and night and sleeping in it. And at the end, you'd be like, I just want to scratch this spot. And so I will take it off every once in a while to kind of let her do her thing. And as I take it off, I realize that this thing has been rubbing against her neck and it's rubbing away the fur there. And I'm like, okay, this is... We'll deal with this one later. I'm going to punt on this issue for now. And hopefully this hair just comes back.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just feel like I'll say this. My son is fine, but I did take him to the ER within the same week that my cat went. Days before my cat went. And we spent the night there. And it was the same system where I knew what I was getting into because of my appendectomy, like how long you just sit and wait and wait and wait outside even. I mean, we're just like in a folding chair outside and he's getting tired and he's like, I feel better. I want to go home. And I'm like, are you just saying that because you want to go home? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, we can't do that. We can't go home.
And, I tried that when I was getting wrist surgery too. You sit in one spot for enough hours and it's like, you know what? I think this is actually manageable. I think I read online that just Advil was enough.
Yeah, you feel like I can solve this better at home than I can here. This is only making things worse.
Yeah.
Let me go home. And that feeling that you get that where they just wear you down at an emergency room. And so we sat there for a very long time and then I'm kind of prepping him. We thought it might be appendicitis because he had some real, real severe pain in his lower abdomen and couldn't stand up straight, couldn't walk with it. And when I touch it, I was getting some real appendicitis vibes from it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So brought him in. And so I'm carrying him everywhere, back and forth, inside. Every time they want to check his vitals every hour, because they don't actually see you for a while. And when they don't see you for a while, they'll check your vitals every hour to make sure you haven't gotten worse. So just like carrying him around at like 3 a.m. And then we finally get seen, and it was, the whole system was a nightmare. I mean, the emergency room system is a nightmare. For him, it was a little bit better because they won't just stick a kid in a hallway. They'll wait and they'll give you a priority for a room, which was nice. But you see everyone else that you're walking past just suffering in this bright fluorescent lights of a tiny little hallway next to each other. And at the end, I was like, There's gotta be a better way, man. Like, let's figure out what it is, because this is not a system that works. This is, when you go to the hospital, by the time you leave, you're way worse. I mean, maybe they do the things that will patch you up and you can convalesce at home, but morally, not morally, your morale, how you feel so much worse when you leave a hospital than even when you go in.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like there's got to be something we can do differently. And for cats. Yeah. Dogs, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot on your plate. You got to fix 2 industries, it sounds like.
Yeah. Not so happy about the non-unionization of the animators, too. I think maybe I could do something about that. Yeah.
But everything else is good, right? Banks, landlords, energy.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
those industries are good.
Yeah, slumlords is really far down my list. In fact, I kind of enjoy them.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
That about wraps her up. Yeah. Our very special Father's Day episode of Quick Question. The show is Quick Question, but you knew that already. We are recorded, edited, and produced by the irreplaceable Gabe Harder. Our theme song is by the incredible Mirex. Their digital album is available now at ORCD.co/plesiosaur. That's ORCD.co/PLESIOSAUR. Check it out right now. It just dropped today as of this recording, Friday the 17th. You can find us. I have more to say. You can find the show at QQ_SorenDan on Twitter, or Soren_LTD on Twitter, or me, DLBR_INC. You can email the show, qq@sorenanddaniel@gmail.com. You can find us on Patreon. You can support us and get exclusive access to secret content for you. Now I'm done with talking. Now I'm out of things to say.
You didn't tell them about the Instagram.
Oh, my God. Instagram's owned by Facebook.
Are you off of Instagram then, Dan?
No.
Okay.
I love it.
Oh, I'm so sorry, man. All right, bye.
All right, bye.
I've got a quick question for you, all right? I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, all right? The answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite? How did you get? I think you'll have a great time, yeah. I think you'll have a great time.